Amen.
Do you love him tonight? Thank you, Father. We just take a minute. We just bless you and honor you and praise you and worship you, Father. Thank you for the family of God, Father. Thank you for your presence here tonight. How we love you. How we're so grateful that you're stirring our hearts, bringing joy. Amen. He's bringing joy and peace and strength. Amen. Regardless of what's going on out in the crazy world, we thank you for that today. And so, Lord, we thank you for tonight just encouraging us even more. Thank you, Father God, for planting the Word of God, strengthening us. We thank you that we're victorious in you, Father. So we honor and bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. It's good to see you on a Wednesday night.
I just have...
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody's pocket knife? I found it. Somebody's. The lost and found. We got a lot of stuff in the lost and found. Amen. A silent auction? Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. With all the lost and found stuff, people come for that and said, hey, I've been looking for that. Amen. Amen. We are in the fantastic book of John, chapter 1, and we're on session 7. My goal is maybe we'll finish chapter 1 tonight. Who knows? Amen? Sometimes the Lord takes us a different direction. Just thinking of, you know, God's character that lives in us through the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad that everything that God represents is all good? You know, I was thinking of that today because I helped take care of my grandmother who died last year, the day after Thanksgiving, for like 7 or 8 years. And when you get to know somebody that much, you see family traits. Did you ever notice some of them aren't always so good? And then... a little over a year ago, my mom's husband died. And so her being a widow and helping her move, she moved up here. She's living in Chino now. And so having her live up closer to us and just helping in her life and seeing some of those family traits that are kind of handed down that I see in grandma, I see in my mom. And I said, man, those have got to be in me too somewhere. And the thing is, sometimes we have certain traits maybe handed down to us that are a struggle, that aren't always good, right? I'm so thankful with the fruit of the Spirit and everything he's given us. It's all good. It's all perfect. Our growth in him is, there's nothing bad that we have to sift through. His intentions for us are always perfect and good. Aren't you glad? His intentions are always good. His Spirit is perfect. His Spirit is holy. His love, God being love, so his love for people, his love for us, and his intentions towards us and our families being in us, saying, God, thank you that you that I'm growing in, I don't have to worry about sifting through, trying to get through family traits. We're the family of God, right? And we're growing in him, and everything we have from him is perfect and good. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. Another thing I saw today that it just kind of blew my mind on a not-so-good note is in San Francisco, did you read this? It just, people, now because of people you've seen where they go into stores and just, I forget the term they use for this crash and bash and just take things. Have you guys seen any of that in, like, San Francisco? Well, they're doing it to cars, too. So now what people are doing is they're parking their cars and they're just leaving it unlocked with the trunk up, so people don't have to bash their windows. They can just rummage through the car. Isn't that insane? Insane thinking. Insane thinking. See, that goes back to Romans 1. When the wisdom of God is removed and the wisdom of man takes its place, you end up with insanity. It's just like communism, and I won't stay on this soapbox, I'm sorry. How many times has communism been tried throughout the world, but now in our schools they refuse to teach about communism, but instead teach about how evil America is? So switch it around so that our students or what's being taught in school don't hear about what happened in China or what happened in Russia and other countries where communism, where millions upon millions, tens of millions, 20s of millions of people have died from communism. So that's when you remove God from the equation, this is what you're left with: insanity. Aren't you glad what we've been talking about with the wisdom of God that we have, man, that we are have the truth? God given us grace and truth. Amen. Walking in the truth. And that as time, you know, next year, I wonder what's going to happen. Or you look at the economy and the printing of money. But one thing I know is I've seen people like, wait a second, this isn't working. So I'm not just hoping and trusting and praying that people will all of a sudden say, hey, I want to be a Republican. But they'll say, hey, I want the truth. And the truth is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we go into this new year, and there'll still be some difficult things we're facing with the policies we have, there's no choice. But thank God that he's protecting us. Hey, he's going to protect. Who believes here? He'll protect us. He'll provide for us. Amen. He'll take care of his people. We'll trust him as other people, we pray to God, will open their eyes. We're already seeing that. I'm already hearing and talking to young people that are coming to the Lord. Hallelujah. Coming to the Lord. Amen. And not just coming to the Lord, but excited about the Lord. On fire for the Lord. Being filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We're going to talk about that a little bit today because it's in the book of John. So now we'll move on to John chapter 1, session 7. Amen. So I'd mentioned when I left off last week, Israel was under Roman rule starting in about 63 BC before Christ. So Roman rule could be brutal for people, for the poor, for the needy. But for others, they were very comfortable under Roman authority. Roman authority made them very wealthy. Especially, and even so much, I hate to say this, but especially in Judaism, in the church. We'll see, we're going to look at a little short clip of what the temple looked like at that time that Jesus walked on the earth. And it's called Herod's Temple. You remember last week I said that Herod had remodeled, so to speak, expanded, made that temple. I mean, it was something to behold, the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. And he did that for a reason, because it made that city prosperous. It made that where he collected taxes. So Herod, ruling that area, then had to pay homage to Rome. So he was no dummy. He said, if I can keep these people happy in their religion, keep them, the economy going, and just keep them from being rebelling and having trouble, man, this will work for them and it'll work for me. But we're going to see one of the biggest things that was the problem back then as Jesus began to proclaim the kingdom of God is nobody wanted to hear that the temple worship was going to end. It would be like the economy, 10 times the economy. You know, you go to a football stadium in Phoenix. You know where the football stadium, the Cardinals stadium is. But look at all the commerce around the stadium. So much money being made from the stadium, from the Cardinals and the other activities they have there. It was the same with the temple. And so for somebody to start declaring that things are going to change, nobody really wanted to hear that. Matter of fact, they thought when this Messiah comes, what his job is going to be is to just make what we're living in now greater without the Roman authority. Without the Roman authority, but what we have here, the temple worship and everything we're doing here will remain. It's just going to be expanded and become as greater than when the time of King David or Solomon. That was what they were expecting. They weren't expecting, as we'll talk about next week, that Jesus would be born of a virgin and that not many people would even know about his birth. I mean, who knew about Jesus' birth during that time? It was a night shift. If you were working the night shift taking care of sheep out in the field, you got to see a chorus of angels, amen, singing and worshiping God. But if you weren't on the night shift, you didn't get to see that. Nobody hardly got to see that. It was quiet. It was under wraps, so to speak. And then not long after that, Jesus, we know the wise men came. We don't know how many, but we know they brought gifts, brought wealth to him. And what did Jesus and Mary and Joseph have to do right after that? They had to flee to where? Egypt. The Son of God had to flee to Egypt and live in Egypt. So everything being under wraps and nothing like what they thought when the Messiah would appear. Amen? But boy, did he change things, didn't he? Hallelujah, did he change things. So John 1, 24 through 28 says, and the messengers had been sent. Can you get me a water? Do you mind? Thanks. Appreciate it. And the messengers had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, as they asked John the Baptist, and said to him, why then are you baptizing? Remember last week we left off, they're saying, are you the prophet? You know, are you the Messiah to come? Are you Elijah? And he kept saying no. They said, why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them saying, I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, of whom I am not worthy even to untie the strap of his sandal. These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing people. Now, by the way, as you'll see as we continue reading, you know, he was the cousin of Jesus, but he didn't recognize, he didn't know. He was looking for him to appear. I don't know how long it had been since he'd seen Jesus. Was he raised around Jesus where he saw him, or would he see him from time to time? But even him, even John the Baptist, as he's proclaiming the Christ, he's looking for him. He doesn't know him, as you'll see. He doesn't recognize his face. He doesn't recognize his form. It wouldn't be that he walks up out of a crowd and he says, hey, Jesus, I missed you. Where you been? I didn't see you at last year's family's reunion, right? So even John the Baptist was declaring this, the Son of God, the Messiah coming, but he didn't recognize him in the flesh yet. He didn't know him. By the way, in Mosaic law, which is the starting point of Judaism, ritual cleansing was also a practice. Water was used to cleanse both people and things in many rituals. Other Bible accounts, like that of the prophet Elisha telling Nahum, the soldier, to go dip seven times to cleanse himself of leprosy. You guys remember that story? And so it was just part of Mosaic tradition. So baptizing or cleansing with water wasn't uncommon, but normally done, you know, by in the temple, or part of the ritual in the temple. And so John 1:29, we'll start with the next one. So he was baptized. In verse 29, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Wow, we'll stop right there. Now, we'll realize in a minute that there's a reason why he recognized him. He didn't recognize him when he saw him. You would have think he probably, if he hadn't seen Jesus in a long time, he knows he's the Son of God. Could you imagine in his mind, I'll recognize him in a crowd, right? Sure, the Son of God, I'll recognize him in the flesh in a crowd. I'll be able to pick him out. Not much different than when the prophet had Jesse's sons, Samuel, and remember he saw David's brothers, and he said, surely that's the king. And God said, no, that's not him. Because the way he looked in the flesh. So he says, look, this thing of behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Can you imagine the statement at that time of who takes away the sin of the world? The Mosaic law was the only way at that time that God was in relationship with people. It was the only way. It was God's covenant to his chosen people. And then him saying, this is the one who takes away the sin of the world. And so let's show that video real quick. This is a video of what the temple in Jerusalem looked like during the time of Jesus. So you have an idea what Jesus was up against, if we can just show that. There's no sound with it. you'll just see that's the temple. It's called Herod's temple because Herod is the one who made it look the way it did there. Oh, you get a free little enter. You can skip that down in the lower right, I think, it says, John. There's a little place where you can skip the ad, it says, lower right here. There you go. So just take a look at this. It's not very long, but just take a look at this, the temple. The size of it. Just look at all the structure, what it was. So you can see this wasn't just some little structure in Jerusalem, right? It wasn't like what I showed you a week or two, the tent of meetings, right, when they were out in the wilderness. This is a whole different thing now. Matter of fact, this is what Jesus had prophesied, said there was coming a day that says that not one stone would be left on one another. And that happened in AD 7. This was completely destroyed. Completely destroyed. And has never been a temple there since. Matter of fact, you have the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, right? In Jerusalem. And then on top of that, what do you have that's actually where the temple was? Is the Dome of the Rock, right? Thank you, John. Appreciate that. So you get an idea of what the temple looked like in Jerusalem. So as we move through the book of John, as Jesus is healing people, as he's declaring he's God, he's doing these miracles, but himself in the flesh, his background, nothing to indicate that he was going to be the Messiah, the King of Kings. See, they had to believe that what we were looking at there was not going to be of any use anymore. There was not going to be any more sacrificing. Wow, can you believe that? No more commerce based upon all the different animals, the things that were sacrificed and the slaughter. And remember all the money changers. Me and John were talking about the money changers there in the temple. All the commerce that went on there. Basically, Jesus says it's not going to be needed anymore. And when you start dealing with that with a big part of society and money and what they've done for generation after generation after generation, that there was just so few people that could see it. Only the very dredges, it seemed like, of society that the demon possessed. Mary Magdalene had 7 devils that Jesus cast out. I mean, who loved Jesus more than Mary Magdalene while he was on the earth? Her love for Jesus, amen, that we read about. So somebody who knows what her life was like with 7 demons, a prostitute, whatever she was, but Jesus setting her free and knowing he's the Messiah, amen? And that's the thing about the Messiah in our lives. He sets us free, amen? We don't see him anymore. We don't see him yet, but yet with his spirit in us, he sets us free. And through us, he wants to set other people free because we are now the temple of God, amen? We are so much more precious to God than what we saw up there. To God, that means nothing. It's something that was a covenant that's now been done away with. Paul says that it's going away. It fulfilled its purpose, and now Christ is the fulfillment of what those things stood for, amen? And now him dwelling in us. The whole purpose that the whole time, even from the time of the Mosaic law, when the law was given to let man know what sin was, amen, they had no excuse, was all headed this way. All headed to that day or night or whenever he was born, right? During the night shift. The night shift gets to see him. All to fulfill that the Spirit would live in you and I. That live in you and I. The glory of the Spirit of God. Just like, you know, you think about the Holy of Holies. Wow. And behind the Holy of Holies, once a year, a priest could go back there. And now to think of it, that inside of you and I is the Holy of Holies. Have you seen how I can act sometimes? Have you seen my attitude sometimes? And yet he still lives in there because of the most powerful thing that he could do, giving his son. Wow. How powerful that is. And if that priest went behind there and he messed up, they had a rope around him, right, around his leg, and they didn't hear those bells jing, and they said, pull him out, and they said, next, who's up? The Holy of Holies. We've had other times where we talked about in that Holy of Holies happened the Ark of the Covenant, right? You and I are a representation of the Ark of the Covenant. The law is now, says in our heart, amen? That manna, God, you know, that manna, supernatural manna, the bread of life, Jesus, now in us, amen? That staff of Aaron that budded, that's our lives budding unto purpose and fruit in our lives. You and I now being priests, amen? It's not Aaron. No, there is no Levitical priesthood no more to be saved. I was talking to the Mitts. Do you guys know the Mitts? They're David and you know, they're Jewish, right? I mean, not just Jewish. Her dad and her brother, her dad's passed away, but her brother to this day is a rabbi. And so just talking about that faith, God bless them, but taking that so seriously and following the law and teaching people, and then Paul saying when that's taught, the people, there's just a shroud that remains. They remain blind because there's no power in any type of self-sacrifice now. There's no power in anything that we try to set up as temples outside of ourselves. We can make church a temple. We can make our ministry a temple. We can make different things in our lives, our children, our marriage. We can make all of that a temple, amen? We can. I mean, that can be our focus of life. But yet the temple being right here and coming forth. The sacrifice of praise. Think of the sacrifice of praise. You know that song if you've been around a while. We give the sacrifice of praise. So our sacrifices have nothing to do now with, hey, I've got to sacrifice or give up something to make him pleased with me. He's the only sacrifice that could make him pleased with you and I. Amen? That temple, that temple that now is inside of us. It's actually amazing. So as we move through here, just think about what Jesus, who would go to that temple, amen, and would preach in that temple. The same Jesus, as we'll read, that made the whip and drove out the money changers, that Jesus. So he's saying, as he goes through, they're saying, this all is going to end. What are you talking about? And you see all of this. And after 70 AD, all of that came to an end. So there was a whole economy built upon Jewish sacrifice in the temple. Verse 30, I'm going to go to verse 30 now, John. This is he in behalf of whom I said, this is John the Baptist still preaching, after me is coming a man who has proved to be my superior because he existed before me. And I did not recognize him. Now listen, that you hear that he said, I did not recognize him. It says in verse 31. But so that he would be revealed to Israel, I came baptizing in water. And John testified. By the way, he's saying repent. He's baptizing in water. He's not saying repent. Go make a sacrifice. Go what you need to do in the temple. He's saying repent and that sacrifice just are being baptized is just a forerunner of what Jesus would do, amen? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. For 31, it says, I did not recognize him, but so that he would be revealed to Israel, I came baptizing in water. And John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him, and I did not recognize him. But he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. So he didn't see, he didn't recognize him when he come up. And then Jesus, we'll read another scripture, but when he saw the Spirit open up and descend upon him, he said, that's him. So he saw by the Spirit who the Son of God was. He did not recognize or see anything in the flesh that would say, this is the Son of God. Amen? You can't judge a book by the cover, right? You never, we all look different, but with the Spirit of God inside of us, amen? That's all that matters in our life as far as moving forward or accomplishing anything God has for us, being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I want to go to Mark 1, 9 through 11, talking about John the Baptist did not recognize Jesus in the flesh. It says, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens, this is John, parting, and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Now it says descending upon him like a dove. Doesn't mean it was a dove, right? We could have just saw the Spirit of God just descend. Who knows what he saw in the Spirit? But he saw the heavens open up and the Spirit descend upon Jesus and remain. Amen. He saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Amen. That's why in that verse 34, and he says, And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. You and I, just knowing by the Spirit living in us, know that we are sons and daughters of God. Amen? It may not look like it sometimes on the outside, right? We may not be recognizable sometimes by our flesh. We're not able to walk in perfection. But how did John know that Jesus was the Son of God? He says, I saw the Spirit of God descend upon him. That's how I knew. This is the one that I've been speaking about. This is the one I've been looking for. This is the one that I've been baptizing, saying, when's he coming? I know he's coming. I know that I'm not going to be doing this forever for no reason. I know I'm the forerunner to him, but I'm looking for him to show up. And the crowds and crowds of people coming to him. And Jesus walks up, doesn't know him, but then the Spirit, the heavens open, and the power and the Spirit of God descends upon him. And he said, this is the one. This is the one that I've been preaching about. Amen? Amen. Acts 2, 1 and 4, I want to talk about that because it said that he's the one that is going to come and baptize in the Holy Spirit. You still believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, don't you? We love the Bible, but it means nothing without the Spirit of God revealing it to us. Amen? We have no joy and strength in our life without the Holy Spirit. Yes, we pray in the name of Jesus, but it's the Holy Spirit, it's His Spirit that comforts us and lives in us and empowers us. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of the church doesn't like to talk about the Holy Spirit. We can talk about Jesus. We can talk about the Father. But we get uncomfortable if we talk about the Holy Spirit. Why is that? I think for some of it is we've seen some goofiness. And another one, I hate to say it, but I think a lot of the church has become comfortable with the wisdom of man. Teach me. Give me a neat little sermon. Let's meet together. But when we talk about the activities of the Holy Spirit, people tend to get uncomfortable. The Holy Spirit still works wonders in our lives and other people's lives. He still baptizes in the Holy Spirit. It says he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Acts 2, 1 and 4. When did this begin? Jesus is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Well, during the time that Jesus was his earthly ministry, 3.5 years, did he baptize anybody in the Holy Spirit? No. He just walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. He demonstrated the power of the Holy Spirit. He showed the Father why he walked on the earth. But when it came to that, the day Jesus was, Acts 2, 1, 4, Jesus would baptize in the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, now, by the way, for the Israelites, what was the day of Pentecost? Now, we think of the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended, right? But at that time, for the Israelites, for the Jews, the day of Pentecost was their festival for the wheat, the harvest of the wheat. It was also the celebrating the giving of the law. So when they were there, when it says on the day of Pentecost, Jesus decides to show up on the day that the Jewish people were celebrating the day of the giving of the law. And Jesus showed up on that day and says, look, things are changing. Moses gave the law, but I've given grace and truth. Amen. So on that day, he shows up. Let's read it. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, when Moses gave the law on Mount Sinai, 3,000 people, there was fire on that mountain. 3,000 people died. When the day of Pentecost came and he poured out his Holy Spirit, 3,000 men were saved. Isn't that amazing? With the law came. Came wrath. Wrath against sin. Wrath against people. So when he brought the Ten Commandments down, they celebrated him bringing the Ten Commandments down. He throws the Ten Commandments down. They break, remember? And then Moses orders 3,000 men to be killed who were worshiping that idol. It's amazing God using that day of Pentecost to change the world forever. You know, he still baptizes people in the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? He really does. You know, this coming year, we want to talk more about that. I want to talk more coming into the Holy Spirit. I understand that as we talk about it, there's going to be people that may be uncomfortable and may leave. I'm not saying that I'm going to turn this place into a circus. People seem to think if you talk about the Holy Spirit being baptized in the Holy Spirit, that things have got to get out of order. No, not at all. But we want a demonstration of his power in our lives, in our meetings. Amen. We don't want to just be a church that says teach, 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 teach. We want to teach, but we need a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. And it's not just to hear, it's to take it out in the world. Not only in here, but to take it out in the world. The power of the Holy Spirit is what breaks the bondage over people's lives. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, because of the Holy Spirit, demons have to flee. Amen? The demonstrations that we'll go through as the Holy Spirit would descend on people and they begin to speak in tongues and prophesy. Amen? There's a purpose for tongues. I don't want to turn it to where people come to church and everybody's just speaking in tongues forever and what's going on here? No, there's a time for tongues, though. I love tongues. Speaking in tongues is what I notice about when I'm praying in the Spirit. It's like I can get a download from the Spirit. There'll be times when we'll be here on Wednesday nights and I'll start speaking in tongues and God will say, we're going a different direction. And that's why I'm speaking in tongues. Amen? I love speaking in tongues. In our pre-service prayer, we speak in tongues. And a year ago, as I would speak in tongues in our pre-service prayer, there was this heaviness that would say, stop, you're foolish. And as I've broken through that, that's a demonic foe saying this is foolishness. But I said, nope, you're foolish, enemy. This is the time in the prayer meeting that I need to be speaking in tongues. And as I continue to do that, that thing doesn't come against me anymore because it says it's not going to work. That's the time we pray in tongues. And it happens with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, we don't have people just having these tongues of fire on each individual. It can happen for different people. For me, I was cleaning windows when I started speaking in tongues. I just started speaking in tongues. People have been a part of the abuse or a part of things that maybe were weird or abused. But what did Pastor Lee always say? Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Amen? We don't want to throw those things out. I think as our church has had a revelation of his grace, amen, as we've had a revelation of the grace of God, I think the church is a time to start walking in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. But it'll be him. I'm not going to manufacture anything. I've been a part of things where they tried to manufacture things. I was part of a service where the pastor said, hey, we're going to start having prophecy. So they gave an open mic. And then all of a sudden, this guy got up and he basically said, yabba dabba do. And I knew that was the end of that. They never did it again. You cannot manufacture a move of God. But you know what? You can't be fearful of it either. We can't be fearful of the Holy Spirit. We can't be fearful of the working of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Oh, he wants to do that afresh and anew. Oh, how we need that. The church needs that, brothers and sisters. We can have a knowledge of God, and we can and be walking and born again and everything, but there's more that God wants to demonstrate. We're seeing the power of the enemy out there, amen? There's people that will see a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit, laying hands on the sick, amen? Giving a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom to somebody. Whereas Paul, as he was trying to talk to somebody, this sorcerer was saying, hey, don't listen to Paul. Paul said, you child of the devil, you're not going to be able to see for a while. And the guy had to grope around. He couldn't see for a while. He became blind. And that individual that Paul was talking to in the book of Acts says, I want to give my life to the Lord Jesus. Or as Philip, who was not one of the apostles, right? He was an evangelist. Goes to a town, starts preaching, and miracles start to break out. Amen? That's okay to have that, by the way. We don't want to be afraid. I mean, it's the enemy that would tell us to be, hey, you got to watch it. Be careful. We need to start growing more comfortable with the moving of the Holy Spirit. I said the moving of the Holy Spirit. When it's not the Holy Spirit, it's the flesh tries to bring attention to itself. We'll know, amen? We'll know. But we want to be somebody that moves that direction. I don't want to be a, God bless the Baptist, but I don't want people to come in here and say, hey, what's the difference between you and the Baptist church? I believe in the baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit, but I don't want the congregations to say, we would never know that. We would never know that. How would we know that, Chad? You've never taught on it. We've never seen the demonstration of it. But then again, it has to be the Holy Spirit. It has to be his idea and his mind. But I think we're coming to a time that God's going to do that. Can you feel that in your heart? Please seek the Lord about that. Let me say this right now as we... In the new year, I'm not, once again, I want the Holy Spirit's, Jesus' direction on this. I'm not going to whip up any frenzy to make anything happen. I've been around long enough, like I mentioned, to know what that means or what that ends up. I don't want anything that brings confusion. I want things that bring liberty in Jesus' name. I want things that bring deliverance in Jesus' name. I want things that bring healing in Jesus' name. I want things that bring comfort and healing to people's hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you love him? Amen. Are you still out there? At this point, the ministry of John the Baptist began to decrease. You know, when Jesus showed up on the scene, it wasn't long and he was thrown into Herod's prison. Remember the guy that built the nice temple? He didn't mind the temple, just didn't want to hear from John the Baptist. So John the Baptist, his ministry began to decrease, and we know that eventually John was thrown into prison, right? Jesus' public ministry, first converts. Let me read this, verse 35, John. We've got just a few more minutes. Again, the next day, John was standing with his two disciples. Who was that? John the Baptist, with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? They said to him, Rabbi, which translates... means teacher. Where are you staying? He said to them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. So you look at that, but you know that's not the only interaction he had with Peter. Let me read a couple other ones. Luke 5:4-11 real quick. When he had stopped speaking, so Jesus was speaking on the shoreline, and there were some boats out there. He said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Isn't it amazing how the kindness of the Lord? You know that scripture in Romans 2, it's the kindness of the Lord that leads a person to repentance. So this is an account of Peter's interaction with Jesus that we don't read in the book of John, He even says before this in that same chapter that Jesus had gone to Peter's mother-in-law's house and healed her. So he had some interactions with Jesus before he finally said, "You're the Son of God." He had those interactions and seen the glory and the power of God where he says, "You know what, I'm willing to give up this fishing business to follow you." And that's exactly what he did. Amen. Back to 43, verse 43 of chapter 1. The next day he decided to go to Galilee, that's Jesus, and he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses wrote in the law and the prophets also wrote, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good be from Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." Well, the reason why, you know, he wasn't being a smart aleck, there's no mention of Nazareth at all, not even once in the Old Testament. Well, Jesus wasn't born in Nazareth. And you hear from time to time, you'll read in the Gospels, where the Sadducees and the Pharisees will say, "Hey, you look and see, there's nothing that comes from Nazareth." But you never read about Jesus defending himself. He just went about his business, amen, as the Son of God. No mention of Nazareth in the Old Testament. It does say in Micah 5, verse 2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are a little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." And so people's mindsets, right, looking at Jesus saying, "Well, nothing from Nazareth is going to come good from there." But Jesus wasn't born in Nazareth, was he? Amen? Amen. Verse 47, I'm going to keep going. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Boy, it didn't take much for him to believe. He was ready, wasn't he? Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Amen. Amen. That's our first chapter. Setting up as God moves into his ministry, the second chapter. Calling, we don't see all 12 of the what would become the apostles, 11, right? Didn't stick around, but setting up this chapter 1, 7 weeks as we go into the ministry of Jesus. I think the biggest thing to realize is people were looking for the Messiah, but they were looking for the Messiah on their terms. How many people out there, they're so blind, they're looking for the Messiah or they're looking for the answer on their terms? Aren't you glad that your eyes were opened? Amen. Aren't you glad your eyes were open? You said, Lord, no longer on my terms. It's what's got me in trouble all these years. It's what's allowed me to live in bondage and misery, Lord. So now I freely give my life to you, Jesus. Be praying that this Sunday as we have communion, pray that there'll be some people here that need to hear the gospel of truth, the gospel of love, and that the power of God will break bondages and chains. And the shroud that this enemy, right, that the enemy talks about in Corinthians that's kept over people's hearts will be removed in Jesus' name. It has to be done by the Spirit of God. It cannot be done with a tricky, nice little message. It has to be by the Spirit and the power of God. So I pray this Sunday that there'll be people that will whose eyes will be opened. Amen. They would not come to Jesus because it had to be on their own terms. It couldn't, no way could it be Jesus, somebody coming and saying that he would forgive my sins, that we would no longer need the temple or the temple worship or the sacrificing of animals. They said, no way could that be true. As they lost their souls for eternity, even as they saw the miracles, they convinced themselves it has to be of the devil. This can't be God. They convinced themselves, many of them said, I see these things, but they can't be true. Amen? That's what they were saying. Aren't you glad that your eyes were open where you see him clearly, that you're going to spend eternity with him? Amen? We're going to spend eternity with the Son of God. Talking about seeing a temple, talking about seeing a temple in heaven. Did you know there's a temple in heaven? Talks about in Isaiah 6, where he says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And it said the train of his robe filled the temple, and there was smoke. And he says, woe is me. He said, woe is me because I'm a man of unclean lips, living amongst the people of unclean lips. Woe is me. But you and I, says in the book of Hebrews, it says to enter his throne room with boldness. Amen? The great Isaiah prophet, he was not entering that throne room with boldness, but he was shaking to the core of his being. But because of the blood of the Lamb, you and I can enter his throne room by the Spirit with boldness. Isn't that amazing? Lord, we thank you that we can enter your throne room. Would you stand up with me as we dismiss? Lord, we thank you that we can enter your throne room with boldness. It says, in our time of need, Father God. Lord, we're needing for you to do a great work in this nation right now. Father, we need you to do a great work in family members. Father God, maybe in some of our people and our bodies, we need a work, Father, by your Spirit of healing or deliverance. We thank you for doing that in Jesus' name, setting the captive free, Father, by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Father God. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone to believe it, to the Jew first and to the Greek. Aren't you thankful for his salvation? Father, we thank you for your salvation. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that's in us and stirring us. Father, we thank you that you're keeping us, Father God, exposing darkness, Father God, around us, Father God, setting the captive free in Jesus' name. It's because you live in us, Lord, that we are the temple of God. And so we thank you for that, God. As the Holy Spirit works through your people in power, there'll be others that'll flee from it, but there'll be others that'll come to the light and be born again and saved and delivered in Jesus' name. And so we thank you for that, God. We love you and we praise you tonight. Father, we thank you, Father, for the bond of peace with the saints. Lord, we thank you that we love one another, Father, as it says in 1 Peter 4, it says, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. As we overlook our weaknesses, Father, and grow together, but through the Spirit of God as a body of believers. Father, you're the one who said, I choose to work in this earth through a church. It looks weak, it looks foolish, but that's what you have set up, Lord, working through a body of believers, different parts. Some people are a mouthpiece, others are a foot, an arm, a finger. Every part is important, as important as the other part. For without it, you don't have a body. And so we thank you for that tonight, Lord. We bless you and honor you. Thank you for stirring our hearts this week. Thank you for stirring our hearts, Lord, where the enemy would try to lie to us and say, you're not measuring up, you're not doing enough. Tell that thing to shut its mouth in Jesus' name and go back to H-E double toothpick in Jesus' name. We declare it, Father God. How we love you, Father. We thank you, Father, this week, Lord, as the enemy tries to always to condemn your people, Father. Allow us to know, Father, that's the voice of the enemy. And tell that voice to shut up, that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Wherever you go, you're the temple. You're the temple because you believed in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so we thank you for that, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.